Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome in to a new season of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. That's right, we are back. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, hanging out with you in studio. Our socially distant setup. Hello, my friend. We got some information about the show, but I just wanted to say hello to you. I missed you.
It's good to see you, my friend. Good
Is
to see
really?
You in person.
Do you mean that?
Sure, why not?
Because you usually don't when you
no,
say that.
No. Listen, I've been quarantined with my family. Do you understand, Field Yates? It's good to see you. It is good to see you, my friend. I'm tweeting that we are live now.
Yeah. Good idea.
Now you can
follow Matthew Berry at Matthew Berry TMR on Twitter. Yeah. Here's the deal. We are back. What number season is this again?
I don't know.
This is like 13. I think it's our sixth season together. We could not be more excited. For those of you that might be watching the show right now because you happen to catch Matthew's Twitter stream, you will see we are in a new studio.
Yeah.
And
new
a
studio.
Socially,
who dis?
New studio. Who dis? We are at a socially distant studio
we
as
are
well.
Socially distant studio. They brought it. If you can't see it, so we're in this couch where Field and I are in theory 6 feet apart. I'm not sure. It might be 4.5 or 5. I don't know. It's a little dicey. We'll see. But this is the couch they gave us.
Yes.
And
approximately
we're,
six.
We're sitting as far apart as possible here. And then they gave us a bunch of throw pillows. And I don't think there's enough throw pillows.
Say,
there's like six on it. Like, I want more pillows.
Them?
There should just be pillows upon pillows upon pillows until there's like a until there's a pillow fort between Field and I.
Well, that'd be one way to measure whether or not it actually is 6 feet. So a couple of notes because we've got a ton of football news to get to today. Obviously, a lot of players opting out. We've got a revisit of the Cam Newton signing in New England. That's still a huge story despite the fact that it happened on June 28th over a month ago. But just a few housekeeping notes because you will not see right next to us right now. Normally, we have Daniel a few feet away and Stefania and Mike right in the middle of us because of COVID. We've had to make some amendments to our setup for this season. Daniel is about 12 feet away from you and I right now. There is a camera on him. He is in his usual spot.
Yeah.
And where's Kyle, Daniel?
Kyle, so here's the deal. First off, I'm really excited to be back. Wear my black-on-black Manchester Orchestra shirt. No big deal. All right, so
NBA.
Kyle. Yeah. Kyle,
no idea.
When all of this went down, like he is just a treasure to me and to this show with all the stats and everything that he does for us. Like he is the lifeblood of this show. So I put him in a bunker in February when this happened. I actually sent him down there. I gave him a sleeping bag. I'm not a monster. I gave him a sleeping bag. I said, go on and just chill.
Does he have a bucket? Like what happens when
he
needs to
go? You got a can on him.
Once a week, we send out some saltine crackers and some water and some Gatorade bottles, and he's fine.
Making
he's
it. Like, I'm doing fine.
Yeah, so Kyle is
sounds
in,
like Parasite right now.
Yeah, so he has been separated since February
healthy,
to make
though.
Sure he's around. So Kyle will be with us every day too.
Okay, Kyle will be with us every single day. Now, we will have remote appearances.
Kyle's got a big old mic.
Yeah.
Well, did you notice that microphone? You and I have like, I don't know.
But did you hear what else Daniel gave him? He gave him like a bag of saltines to survive off of. At least he gets a big mic.
By the way, that's more than Daniel's ever given me.
Wow.
A bag of saltines.
Daniel's
just
become
say,
quite generous during quarantine.
I'm just going to say. Starfania
and
Michael Clay.
Yes, will be joining us remotely
when
they appear. And maybe some days too if one of us needs a breather, needs to be home for whatever reason. But
for me, it might be tomorrow.
That's correct.
And the other thing is, by the way, Field, speaking of that, let's be clear. So the show is once again being live streamed. You can, in addition to being able to listen to the audio product wherever you listen to your podcast, you can also watch the show live. You can watch it, I believe. Daniel, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you can watch it on Twitter at Fantasy Focus.
Correct.
You can watch it on ESPN's YouTube channel.
Yes.
You can watch it on ESPN Fantasy's Facebook page.
Correct.
Yes. All correct. You're doing
well so far. You can watch it on the ESPN app.
Matthew Berry showed up to a show meeting and actually did stuff.
And I know that at some point, there's another place I think, I don't know if it's still, is it there yet or no? There's one more place that it's supposed to be.
The one more place that it can be is as a podcast in your ears, the way that it always has been. So like that's, if you're watching it live,
I know there's another place that it might be able to watch it.
Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
So we're doing an hour straight. So basically we are live on air for an hour straight. They've told me there's going to be there's no mid-roll breaks. There's no commercial breaks. There's nothing. It's just me and you live on camera for an hour. So the odds of me surviving a season of that without being fired are almost nil.
I don't know if you know
this. It's literally just a matter of when, not if, just when, you know,
I've spoken
Mike
to some
Mike or Stefania are here to replace me.
Labor Day is the over-under. We got to get to some football
Will
news.
Will you help me write the apology? The tearful apology that I'm going to have to write at some point when I say something stupid?
All right. Well, I will do that. No problem with that. Let's get some player news, Matthew. And as of right now, Monday, 10 o'clock Eastern time, 43 players have opted out of the 2020 NFL season. And as of right now, we expect the deadline for players to opt out to be Wednesday of this week, so 2 days from right now. But the most major opt-out in terms of fantasy football implications was Chiefs running back Damian Williams opting out this past Wednesday. He's dealing with some family issues, and we have immense respect for anybody who decides to opt out of the regular season. There is no issue with that whatsoever. He opted out, which means that...
Yeah, and I don't understand. People, like, listen, health, safety, family above all else, above a job. And playing NFL, it is a great privilege and it's an honor, but come on.
Because it's the internet.
It's a job.
Yeah, I know, but we don't have to, it's the internet.
Stop it. So much respect to should have been Super Bowl MVP Damian Williams.
That's right, but that is a good reminder of how fantastic he was for the Chiefs. He actually, believe it or not, Damian Williams has scored more touchdowns than any player in Chiefs playoff history. You would think that, I don't know, someone else might be ahead of him. They've had some notable players in their career, in their franchise history, I should say. But Damian Williams opts out. Which all of a sudden, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the 32nd pick in this year's draft, becomes the most trendy, buzzworthy name of fantasy football over the past 5 days. When I say Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not making out of the first round of your draft, you say what?
100%.
You agree?
100% correct. Oh, yeah. Listen, even if you don't personally value him, someone in your league does.
Right.
Make no mistake, I literally on Twitter last night, our friend John Paulson, I saw him. He was in a draft. He posted the board of the draft. He was in CEH, went number one overall.
No.
Ahead of Christian McCaffrey.
Check
him out, yes.
He must have played with a Chiefs fan.
No. I mean, I think it's an industry tournament, industry league. So,
wow.
So maybe somebody's trying to be bold there. But yes, literally in a legit draft last night, CEH went number one overall. And so I'm actually starting today. I'm in a best ball expert league. Our friend Jake Seeley is running it.
Okay.
So, and I have pick 11.
All right.
I don't think CEH makes it to me. I will take him if he's there at 11. We're doing this best ball flex league draft that's starting. It's a slow draft starting today, with a 2-hour time limit. I don't think he makes it to me.
I don't think
11.
So as well, especially because of the best ball factor there. But let's talk about it just in ESPN standard leagues. A reminder, PPR scoring is now our default scoring on ESPN. Yeah. So, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the conversation is probably this, Matthew. It's not just...
Well, hang on. I think there's two conversations, and I'm going to interrupt you. Okay. I apologize now.
We're at two times. We're going to keep track of how many times Matthew interrupts the field throughout the year.
That's
Matt
fine.
Harrington, who is our new producer.
Matt Harrington. Love Matt Harrington.
We're gonna create a graphic for every time that Matthew interrupts the field this year, so we're just going to keep track of it. So, Harrington, we're at two
Seven
so far.
7 minutes in, we're in two. All right, nice. Okay, so...
So, I'm trending under.
Yes.
Candidly.
Yeah.
I'm trending under. Daniel, let me let you get a ruling here. Is it Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Helaire? You're saying the H is silent, Field.
Yeah,
and you're usually really good at this kind of stuff. So are we sure on that?
Do you want me? We can. I am telling you right now,
out of
respect for him, he has a hyphenated last name.
Yep.
He adopted that name because his stepfather played an incredibly prominent role in his life. It is Helaire. I encourage you all to go back and watch the feature. It was the final feature that the late, great Edward Ashoff did for ESPN before he tragically passed this past December. It is Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
That is important, and that is good to know. No disrespect, you see it the way it's printed, you would think there's the H is not silent.
It is Helaire.
Helaire. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
We address it. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
But that's important. We've already informed our audience of something they did not know.
Okay.
And
listen, go watch the
feature. The rest is gravy.
You
may not learn anything
feature.
Else the rest of the hour, but at least you know that.
So
you don't sound like an idiot
host.
In your draft.
Yes.
But but it is CEH, not CEE.
Right. It is still, if you want to use his initials, CEH remains. But let's talk about CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire's value relative to other running backs, Matthew, because I do think that's what most of the people that followed that news on Wednesday were immediately asking themselves. How high does he climb in your rankings? Because we've got a clear on question number one in Christian McCaffrey. I think relatively close to a consensus top 2 to 4, some order of Saquon Barkley, Dalvin Cook, and Ezekiel Elliott. And then it seems like Alvin Kamara sort of slides into running back 5.
Then you get into Derrick Henry and
Austin Eckler, Aaron Jones, players of that nature.
Yeah,
right?
Nick Chubb, Joe Mixon,
Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs, yes. So here's the thing. So when the Chiefs drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire,
yes,
I was watching the NFL draft at my house, socially distancing, and I was doing sort of reaction videos.
Yeah.
And my reaction video, if you go back and watch, look at my Twitter feed from draft night, I did like a 2-minute video just, and I literally did this. I literally like, be still my beating heart. Are you kidding me? Clyde Edwards-Helaire to an Andy Reid offense. Like, and I was so excited. And if you go back and like, it's so funny. We ended up a couple previous weeks going into the NFL draft. I think Mina Kimes asked on Twitter something to the effect of like, who's your number one running back that isn't the obvious number one? And I wrote Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that he was my number one running back coming out of college. And then he goes to the Chiefs in an Andy Reid offense, which is a perfect fit for his skill set. So I, you know, listen, I think we're all like, I've seen so many fantasy analysts like, no, I loved him more early on. A lot of people like him. A lot of people obviously see the talent and see the fit with an Andy Reid offense. I was a fan before that. However, here's my concern.
Okay.
And like, because you have him at 6, I have him at 9, and I might be too low on him. Like, number one running back in fantasy this year is certainly within his potential outcomes.
It'd have to break really, really right, but anyways.
Well, listen, over the last 15 years, the number one running back in an Andy Reid offense has averaged 18 fantasy points per game.
Sure.
Right? I mean, like, and Damian Williams was averaging over 23, and that was without Patrick Mahomes. I mean, this offense returns almost every single starter from last year.
Yep.
The question here is that Andy Reid's offense, Field, and you know this. You work in the front office of the Chiefs, not when Andy was there, but you follow that franchise closely. Like, Andy Reid's offense is not a super easy offense. It's a complicated offense. And so to have a rookie come in a season where there's no preseason games.
Yeah.
Where there's going to be limited practice time because of COVID-19. They've already lost an offensive lineman who's opted out because of COVID-19.
Yep.
Andy Reid's number one goal this year, I believe, they have to protect their $500 million co-owner of the Kansas City Royals quarterback. Right?
That's
and correct. So, Mike, listen, does Andy Reid even need to run the ball to run that offense? Like, they could throw 50 times a game and blow people out. I guess the people that think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is getting 20 touches week one, I think that's mistaken. I think he's the running back you want. I think he's a first-round pick. I think he's going to be awesome. I just have a little bit of a concern here, Field, in terms of the fact that he just doesn't know the offense. The guy who does is Darrell Williams. Like, I'm not saying Darrell Williams beats him out. I want to be very clear here. But do I think Darrell Williams gets five touches a game? Do I think DeAndre Washington gets 5 touches a game? Like, do I think CEH is more in the 15 touch a game range than the 22 touch a game range early on in the season? I do.
I think the player who actually most concerns me for CEH's value is Darrell Washington, only because he's the DeAndre. Best pass catcher. DeAndre yeah. Washington, because he's the best pass catcher amongst all the backups in the Chiefs running back backfield right now. Here's the reason why I put him 6th, which behind the 5 that I mentioned earlier, is that those 5, I think we have a clear-cut, obvious stud usage, runners, receivers, etc. Very good offenses for many of them. Beyond that, we're talking about players like Derrick Henry. Well, Derrick Henry's limited passing game value, right? Obviously, he's an incredible runner. He's the best pure runner in football. Austin Eckler. I have some concerns about how many points that offense is going to score this year, right? Touchdowns might not be in his favor, and they may not be as inclined to hand him the football 200 times this year as I think the Chiefs may be to hand off the ball 200 times to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Aaron Jones, some touchdown regression. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, plus his lesser passing game value just because of the role there. So, anyways.
You have Kamara ahead of him, though.
I have Kamara 5.
Okay.
Yes. So that's why I slot him at pick 6 for right now, running back 6 for right now. I do believe he's going in the first round.
There's no question. There's no question about that. Even if you don't value him in that way, if you want him, you're going to have to use a first round pick on him. I don't have an issue with him, by the way, at 6. Like I said, I have him at 9. Maybe I might be a little bit too low on him, Field. That's just my concern is, does he get that heavy usage immediately? But if you were doing a dynasty draft, he is 101.
Yeah.
I mean, there are no questions.
I would feel that same way. I know some people do value wide receivers in dynasty just because of the potential for 10 or 12 or 15 years of utility, but CEH number one in Dynasty. Let's move to a player that happens to wear the number one. Look at that segue right there. Cam Newton will be wearing number one with the Patriots. If you haven't listened to it, we did a more Cam-centric 15-minute or so quick blast podcast on June 28th if you want to go back into the feed. But as we know, he signed to a one-year deal with the Patriots. It makes a maximum value of $7.5 million if they win the Super Bowl. So there's plenty of incentive for Cam to play really well this year. Around the time, I think we sort of slotted him in that first podcast, said, hey, probably like quarterback 10 to 12, somewhere in that range. As a reminder, right now, Matthew, you have him at quarterback 13. I have him at quarterback 12. And Daniel, a new ranker on ESPN Fantasy this year, has him at quarterback 10. Actually wants him ahead of Tom Brady. Let's clear this right away, Matthew. You expect that there is a 99.99% chance Cam is starting for the Patriots in week one?
I do.
Okay, agreed.
But I will say my ranking reflects a little bit of caution on that.
Okay.
But more also the health. We didn't know that he's fully healthy. But if he's fully healthy, he's going to move into my top 10.
Okay, got
it. And the upside of Cam Newton is massive. Yeah. I mean, we've seen this. And I know people are like, oh, well, that's Belichick's off. Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick are going to call plays and design an offense around what Cam does well. You think about, what does Cam do well? Well, Cam, among other things, he runs.
Yeah.
Right? He really runs well. And I know it's lessened over the course of his NFL career. But get this. During his career, he has more red zone rushing touchdowns than any player in the NFL. Not any running back, any quarterback. Like, every player.
Yeah.
More red zone rushing touchdowns Cam Newton than anyone else.
That's absurd.
And absurd. Since 2016, the Patriots rank sixth in red zone rush percentage. I don't think people realize how much they run when they get in close. You know, I mean, you think about, like, think about the LeGarrette Blount years. Think about Sony Michel. Think about some of the other Patriot running backs over the years. Think about Tom Brady would always get three or four a year just sneaking in on the quarterback sneak. And now you've got Cam Newton. You've got a weapon like Cam Newton. They will use all facets of Cam's game.
Think about this. This isn't even a fantasy football conversation in this regard. The Patriots are as resourceful of a team in sports, right? The Patriots would never sign a player like Cam Newton. And remember, Cam used to say, like, you have to let a lion roar or something, right?
Sure.
They wouldn't sign Cam Newton and say, you know what? At 31 years old, coming off of multiple surgeries, let's make wholesale adjustments. Oh, during an offseason when we haven't been able to work with it all, let's make wholesale adjustments to how you play and what you do best. Like, of course, the Patriots did not sign Cam Newton to turn him into Tom Brady. They signed Cam Newton because, at his best, Cam Newton is still one of the most dynamic players in the NFL, provided he's healthy. And as of right now, Matthew, all signs point towards him being fully healthy at the moment.
And, you know, listen, there's also sort of the personal, right?
Oh, he's motivated.
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick both have their own personal motivations. Like, they want to prove they can do it without the other.
Sure.
Right? The two of them have, you know, created magic together
that's
over many,
instinct,
many years.
Right? Huh? I think that's human instinct.
Human nature,
wonder,
of course,
right?
Of course. Like, Tom's like, I'm going to Tampa Bay and I'm going to prove that I'm not a, quote, system quarterback, as some insane people talk about.
Yeah.
And Belichick, you know, people have said, like, well, he's had Tom Brady as, you know, his whole run in New England, basically. And so, anyway, Yes,
lots to prove for Cam,
for Bill, for that offense as well.
But I think so, top 10-ish quarterback, 10 to 12, is an appropriate place for Cam to be drafted, yeah, because quarterback is way deep this year, as it always seems to be. But still, there are enough great options ahead of him that I think 10 to 12 is reasonable. All right, we can make this next conversation most likely a quick one. LeSean McCoy signed with the Buccaneers recently. It's a deal worth about $1 million, reflective of a player that, at his age, the minimum you can make is $1 million. So it's not like this is some massive bag.
I would like to differ. I am a little bit older than LeSean McCoy, and I am not making the minimum. You said at his age, $1 million is the minimum. I am not making
for an NFL player.
You're making more.
Oh, for an NFL player.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Podcast producer,
got
the minimum
it.
Is much, much lower, and you do make that. You do make the minimum for a podcast producer.
Yes, congrats. Yes, you're accurate. Making the minimum. Congrats. LeSean McCoy signs. He turned 32 on July 12th. He signed with the Bucs, Matthew. Did this move the fantasy needle at all for you?
No, listen, Avengers spoiler jokes aside, I don't think LeSean McCoy is very good. And
not anymore.
And I don't think he is anymore. That's correct. And it's not just my opinion. It's also the opinion of Andy Reid, who made him a healthy scratch at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Super Bowl, when you need all hands on deck, they're like, you know, we got a better chance at winning the biggest game of my career with LeSean McCoy not in uniform.
Right. Yep.
So, but ultimately, Field, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It even doesn't even matter what Bruce Arians think. This is entirely about what Tom Brady thinks. That is my belief.
Interesting.
My belief is that listen, you've got, so here's who you've got in the backfield. You've got Ronald Jones, who has struggled in pass production, pass protection in his brief NFL career.
Yep.
You have Keyshawn Vaughn, the rookie out of Vanderbilt.
Yep.
You've got Dari Ogunbowale.
Dari Ogunbowale.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Field handles the name pronunciation. If you're new to the show,
I got to be honest.
Field handles the name.
I was practicing all offseason.
If you told me, though, in this show that you were going to say that name, I would have thought you'd have done a lot worse than what you,
yeah,
what
thank you
actually
you.
Did.
I came
thought
close.
It was
first of all, you would have called him Dare because his name is spelled D-A-R-E.
Listen,
yeah.
I'm just trying to get somewhere in the vicinity. Yeah. That's all it is.
Between the navigational beakers. That's all.
Pretty much. So LeSean McCoy, who is obviously a veteran player who has been in pass-friendly offenses before, is known, you know, is a pretty good pass blocker. So this may be about having a camp body. This may be about wanting just more depth, especially in a season with COVID-19. This may be about Tom Brady's, you know, wanting somebody back there that he feels comfortable with. So to me, the Tampa Bay running back situation is going to be, who does Tom want back there? Because that's Tom's going to make that call.
Yeah, and
that's my belief.
And you know what, though? Here's the trickiest, one of the tricky parts of this year as we're navigating this new terrain is that how do we find out who he trusts with zero preseason games? I have a hard time imagining myself coming anywhere close to LeSean McCoy. I think I'll have a much better feel on this come like September 5th if he makes the team. Let's start there for LeSean McCoy. Big name, fantasy legend, first ballot Hall of Famer. He had more fantasy points in the 2010s than any other running back. So shout out to LeSean McCoy for many reasons. I just am not investing in him this year with the Buccaneers. Now, speaking of a player that...
And I would just say, just to piggyback off of that in terms of Ronald Jones or Keyshawn Vaughn, I don't think that decision has been made yet. To my point is, I will say, I don't think the LeSean McCoy signing made me lower those guys significantly. A little bit, because maybe... But
yeah,
not
a little bit.
Not significantly.
Right.
I still think, you know, it remains to be seen. They're both worth late round flyers, but I would not want Vaughn or Jones as a running back I needed to count on going into the season. I think they are nice later round flyers, and you hope one of them emerges.
All right, let's move along to a player that may eventually become a Buccaneer because he does have a close relationship with Tom Brady. Antonio Brown, over the weekend, was suspended 8 games for violating the league's personal conduct policy. Antonio Brown has had lots of off-field misgivings. The 8 games is a minimum, as in the NFL still has other issues they need to resolve with Antonio Brown, which could result in further discipline. But for right now, Antonio Brown's going to miss 8 games, Matthew. At his best, he is still one of the 3 most talented wide receivers that is currently alive. Antonio Brown, are you investing a draft pick in Antonio Brown? And without any idea where he's going?
Yes. Now, tell me where the... Now, I'm not investing a high draft pick.
Of course, right.
But if you're telling me round 10, I don't know, where's Antonio Brown going on ESPN? He probably isn't even being drafted.
Right now?
Yeah.
Bunker!
Bunker.
That's a Kyle question. Kyle from the Stat Cellar, if you can look it up while Matthew does this.
How about that? All right. Kyle's taking a look at the Bunker. Yeah. Bunker at least has solid internet service.
Oh, yeah. I got Wi-Fi. You. He's going wide receiver 64 right now, being drafted in just over 23% of leagues.
Wide receiver 64. So, and what round is that?
The last. I mean, we were looking at
like not even being round.
Yeah,
like
167.
So if you're telling me in the 10th round, why would you not take a flyer and Antonio Brown? Because think about this.
Yep.
When you get into that range, you've already drafted your starters, right? And so now you're like thinking about upside.
Yep.
Who has more upside than Antonio Brown? You think about Kareem Hunt last year, right? Who same thing, was suspended 8 games. He was a top 20 running back over the second half of the year. He was running back 17.
Super useful. Yeah, right? Very useful.
And, I mean, like, so Kareem Hunt, and that's at the running back position. I mean, Antonio, to your point, again, there's lots of off-the-field issues with Antonio Brown, and we're not making any, we're merely judging him as a fantasy football asset.
Yep.
As a fantasy football asset, if Antonio Brown can stay on the field, massive upside. Yep. I mean, there's not a player that you're going to be able to draft in round 10 or later that has top 3 disposition upside, right? That, I mean, there may be a Lamar Jackson this year like there was last year, but like we know what Antonio Brown can
do.
We
know that going into
right.
It. Yeah.
And you think about some of the teams that have been rumored to be interested in Antonio Brown, the Ravens, the Seahawks. Yeah.
That would be good.
I mean, like Antonio Brown with Lamar Jackson, like that is absolutely worth waiting 8 weeks for, 8 games for, especially if you get him round 9, 10, 11.
I want to hold one thought on this.
Yes,
we'll revisit it a little bit later on in the show because we're going to talk about roster sizes and league management. But we are at first, before we do that, we have a very, very special guest to bring on the show right now. And when I say special, I just mean she's the best. She's the best part of the podcast. Her name is Stefania Bell.
Stefania Bell. Look at her. Look how
she looks very professional.
I miss you, Stefania. How are you?
I miss you guys.
Aw, you could be honest.
Well,
you just
a
miss
little
me.
Bit.
Okay.
But in all seriousness, Stefania and I have done this show in studio together for 13 years.
Yeah.
So COVID-19 keeping us apart. Stefania
Bell.
You're
aging and she's staying the same.
I mean, I do not want to see a picture of me from 13 years ago. Stefania looks the same. You probably had braces.
I do not look the same.
But yeah. And by the way, Stefania, because of COVID-19, we no longer have a makeup and hair department here at ESPN. So
Field and I have no makeup.
I mean, which is fine for Field because Field looks like he's GQ ready at all times. But like
Field looks like $1 million.
Yeah, it's very upsetting. It's very, very upsetting.
Get the rest of the show off.
All right.
So good. All right, Matthew,
so,
you start.
So, Stefania, I know how busy you have been. Not only do you track, obviously, all the injuries for every sport at ESPN, but you've also been, you know, talking with all sorts of doctors, healthcare professionals, the medical directors of the NFL, NFLPA. You have been doing crazy amounts of research on COVID-19 and how that's going to affect the NFL. So let's start here. How does testing currently work for NFL players once they've joined their teams again?
Right. Well, obviously, they had to go through a series of tests just to access the facility. But now that they're in training camp, they will go through daily testing. And when players come to the facility, if they test positive, the key thing for the clubs is to isolate them immediately, because the one thing all the clubs want to avoid is an outbreak. They want to avoid spread. So if a player develops symptoms, then they're encouraged to not even come to the facility, just to get tested right away and report in. But again, the key for everyone right now is to avoid spread. And that's one reason that they really wanted the daily testing in place. That's expected to last at least 2 weeks and if the positivity rate in the club drops below 5%, they'll then move to every other day. But expect that to potentially fluctuate depending on what happens as the season progresses.
Stefania, is there any special injury reporting or designation a player will receive after a positive test or potential exposure?
They've created a reserve COVID-19 list, and you've probably already seen this. Field, I know you're on the transaction report all the time, and so it will be listed there, and that will continue throughout the season. It's important to note that being on that list doesn't necessarily mean that you tested positive. If you've had exposure to someone who has tested positive for COVID-19 or even suspected exposure, you will also be placed on that list. So there's no way for anyone looking at the list to determine what exactly is the health status of that individual. So that's important to remember. And also, clubs cannot comment due to privacy laws on what the status of a particular individual is. So unless that person relays their own information, you don't know when they're on that list whether they actually have tested positive for COVID-19 or they have been exposed to someone who potentially has COVID-19.
Okay, so let's say, a player's on the list. A player has been placed on the list, Stefania. So talk to me then about how does that player get back on the field? What's that path look like? How long can they stay on the IR? Are there any limitations or medical concerns once they come back in terms of their playing time? So talk to me a little bit about what that path back looks like for a player.
Here's where it gets really tricky, Matthew, because it's going to be unique potentially to every single person. There's no real timeline for this, as we've seen just with the country at large. There's a wide range of symptoms, ranging from no symptoms at all to severe symptoms. We've seen a case in baseball where a player developed a cardiac problem that ultimately ended his season. I would note that the research that's coming out to date has shown some cardiac conditions associated with COVID-19. It's one reason that a cardiac screen is required for all players who test positive. They will have to go through cardiac screening in addition to any other medical clearance before they're able to return. That's definitely one major highlight of these protocols. But essentially, once they're out, The symptoms have to resolve. They have to have consecutive negative tests. They have to be cleared by the club physician. And then the path back to actually participating in practice or ultimately playing in a game really depends on how long you've missed. You know how it is. If you've been sick and you feel lousy, you lose your conditioning. So somebody who's more compromised by the disease might take longer to get their conditioning back and be able to play versus someone who's asymptomatic might be out for a few days and be able to jump right back in. So this is something that I would encourage for fantasy players. You're really going to have to monitor these reports. Tune into the podcast maybe, and we'll be updating you with what we know based on what's happening with each club.
Stefania, what's the opt-out date deadline, and is there potential to opt back into the season after you've opted out?
This has been a moving target field, and originally we heard that the opt-out date would be 7 days after the final agreement on all the protocols between the NFL and NFLPA, but since that has been pushed out as they still work through the details, it now sounds like that opt-out date could be this week, Wednesday or Thursday. So stay tuned this week to find out when that will actually happen. Now, once you're out, my understanding is once you've opted out, there's no mechanism to then opt back in. However, if you've opted in the case where there's familial circumstances that might change, it sounds like on a case-by-case basis, someone could opt out later on, depending on what their circumstances were.
All right, Stefania, so tough question for you now, right? You are both a medical professional.
Now a tough one.
Now it's a tough question. You are a medical professional. You're also a hardcore fantasy football player who plays in multiple leagues every year and have for, 15 something years, 20 years. I don't know how long you've been playing, for a long, long time, since before I've known you, and I've known you for 14 years. So my question is, I guess, do you have any additional fear when you're drafting players this year? We know that there are some states that have been hit harder by COVID-19 than others. Do you have any concerns about drafting players from those teams in those states, than you do other players? Is COVID-19 affecting how you're going to draft players and evaluate players this year, I guess?
It's a really tricky question because it's such a moving target. It's a fair question because you would think naturally if you're in an environment where the virus is more prominent, then potentially the risk of exposure for every player is higher. We know they're not staying in a bubble. Players are on their own when they're home. There's been a lot of education for players and families. They've been advised to minimize their interactions that would put them at risk. But even with all the best practices in place, when you have something this contagious, there are no guarantees. So it's certainly something that I've thought about. And depending on when my draft is, I will be taking that into consideration for sure. The other thing I want to point out is, we talked about players coming back and potential deconditioning. It's a big unknown how this altered season will affect injuries in general. Typically in training camp around week two, we see a spike in soft tissue injuries, particularly lower extremity injuries. That's when they have off-season programs, OTAs, things in place that are very structured. Now you've got guys coming from a variety of different workout backgrounds. Remember, many training facilities were closed during the pandemic, so guys were left to their own devices. The clubs have to try and get them up to speed as far as strength and conditioning, and then work them into football shape as well. Now, there's no preseason game, so on one hand, that's an advantage because you're minimizing risk exposure for the virus and potentially the contact that comes from a game, but you're also not adapting to competition the way that you would if you get a little bit of a game exposure. So we really don't know how it's going to play out, but certainly I can tell you that clubs are concerned about the risk of soft tissue injuries in particular and lower extremity injuries as a result of the altered schedule.
Well, there's so much unknown about this season, Stefania, but if there's one thing we do know, it's that you will be very, very, very busy. I'm just curious, really quickly, I notice you're behind a bookshelf. You got a bookshelf behind you. Is Fantasy Life, New York Times bestseller, is that on the bookshelf right there behind you?
Well,
it doesn't look like it.
On a shelf that you can't see.
Ooh, that's
tough. Wow. On a shelf you can't see.
It's outrageous.
Sounds like outrageous.
Cutting out again, Stefania. Very good to talk to you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you. Great
for,
job.
Bears and Lions. Thanks so much, Stefania.
Bye.
Whatever. Thanks, whatevs.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com today or just stop by.
So as we've been talking about throughout the show, this year we're going to have some different rules in place because of COVID. It's a different year in so many ways. I don't have to reiterate that. But if you're thinking about playing in a fantasy football league, this is a good time to go over to ESPN.com/FFL. So
we're company men. New studio. We don't have the drops yet. It's all
so fine. Let's talk about some of the things that are going to probably alter this year as a result of COVID. What if you've already drafted? I mean, this is probably applies to a very small percentage of people, Matthew, but if you've already drafted and you have the default settings in place, what would you do? Would you?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I would do nothing.
There. Okay.
You drafted how you drafted. It is what it is. You're going to have to deal with it. You know what I mean? Like if you want to make some adjustments to in season, you know, in terms of free agent acquisition, but I feel like you draft however you draft. If everyone in the league, you need a unanimous vote. If everyone in the league unanimously votes to add another IR spot or an additional bench spot or something like that, then okay. But only unless you have a unanimous vote can you change the rules after the draft. Otherwise, you just got to go with this is how you drafted it, and everyone's going to be in the same boat.
Let me start off the top. I should have said this before I even asked you that first question. Let's accept at least two truths of this year.
Yes, sir.
We have zero idea how this is all going to play out and manifest itself or not manifest itself during the football season. There is no bubble. Bubbles seem to be the best solution that we've seen for sports. But this
good call. Do we have a season?
Yes. 100%. Yes.
But I agree. What would you, if I had on a scale of 100 on percentage
85%.
Basis? 85%.
85%. Yep.
I was going to say 70.
Okay. Well, let's move. Let's continue to operate with the idea that it is playing.
Yes, sir.
This year, unlike any other league you're ever going to play in, you need to accept the ability to be nimble. You need to be dynamic. You need to be understanding. If you, in previous years, have had a hard and fast rule with your league that there are no mid-season rule changes or that a mid-season rule change requires, you know, at least 85% of the league members to approve it, maybe this year you relax the standards a little bit. You're just going to have to. There are so many things that we just don't know how they are going to play out if they do play out. So let's get through some of these questions that I think apply to almost all leagues.
Right.
How many extra bench spots do you think you should have? Understanding that in ESPN default settings, you have 9 starters and you have 6 players on the bench with an IR spot. How many extra bench spots do you think you should have?
I would say 8 or 9, but it depends. I think
8 or 9 extra or 8 or 9 total?
No, 8 or 9 total.
Okay,
so 2 or 3 extra.
I'm gonna say the whole league will be drafted.
I'm in deep leagues like that. I'm in a league where you have 33 man benches, believe it or not. But yes, I think 8 or 9 total. But I will say it goes in concert with IR spots. I'm fine with like 6 bench spots, but 3 IR. Or even, you know, or 4 IR.
Yeah.
Unlimited IR. I'm okay with any of that. It's just what you want is you want the ability to be nimble, as you said, because we just have no idea. I do believe that in fantasy football is normally a season where there's a lot of roster turnover, right? As players get injured and you know, the Devontae Parkers of the world emerge, right? You know, and so free agent players suddenly pop up and have big years and become part of your starting lineup. This year, more than ever, I think there's going to be tons of roster turnover in terms of fielding a healthy lineup. We just don't know, right? Yeah. We just don't know. I mean, listen, is there a scenario field? And I think there is. Like, we're seeing this in baseball, where like the Marlins literally had to cancel a game, right? I mean, so could you see a scenario where an NFL team literally, where it's like, we're not playing. Like, we're having a week 6 of the NFL season, but this game is not playing because of concerns with COVID-19. Like, it's so unknown that I think you want a roster flexibility in terms of how you set up your league and also in terms of how you draft. We'll talk about that in a little bit. In terms of maximum amount of flexibility.
Yeah, I think 2 to 3 extra bench spots and an extra IR spot is sensible. Now, we do not know this as of yet. We'll get clarity on this. So before people even ask, we don't know if, let's say, a player is placed on the reserve COVID list, if that makes him IR eligible in ESPN Fantasy. There is no playbook for how you adapt your fantasy football app during a pandemic. So we'll figure that part out. Because if it turns out that if a player's on the reserve COVID list becomes eligible to be placed on IR, well, then maybe you make your IR spot, let's say you had one before, maybe you bump it up to three, because I think reserve COVID is the greatest concern,
sure,
right?
Sure.
So anyways, I think adding at least three additional spots to your bench is something that can build a little bit of a buffer that everybody's going to have to deal with. Now, let's talk about the possibility if we do start the season, Matthew, but like we saw with the NBA and like we saw with the NHL, even though the NBA has had this eight-game mini restart, the NHL went right to the playoffs. What if the season is shortened? And I think we actually kind of know what needs to happen here because we play in a fantasy basketball league along with Daniel and Stefania and Shefty and many others. Matt Harrington, who's, as you mentioned, the newest producer of this show, and he's going to do an awesome job for us this year. We had 12 teams, and we had to cut the league because of the NBA shutdown on March 10th, and we had a long, meticulous process of figuring out, what do we do here? So here's my proposal.
What do you got?
I think that if the NFL plays a minimum of 10 games, the season is deemed fantasy substantial enough to pay out somebody. All right? Okay. If the NFL season is at least 10 games, I think at that point, you have, and if you do have payouts in your league, you play for money, I think you just need to determine it by regular season record, and you need to decide beforehand either top four teams based, you know, top two in each division, or top, if you have divisions in your league, or just top four teams overall by record, and if you want to have, you know, tiebreakers like points for, et cetera. I think that's how you have to recognize it. If we play 10 games, you just do it by regular season record. Don't try to forecast the potential for things to come to a halt week 10.
So I like that suggestion. I'm going to tweak it a little bit.
Okay.
So assuming you play for some sort of money,
yep,
right? You know, if everyone's thrown in some money into the pot, I'm with you. If it hits 10 games, first off, I say don't do it on record. Record, I think it needs to be total points.
Okay.
I would argue for total points. And then you pay out, whether you pay out three or four, however you guys decide it.
Can I ask why, Matthew? Because you wouldn't do the regular playoffs if it was a normal season by total points. So why make the shift for this format? I'm just curious the thought process behind that.
The thought process, because I think that's a better judge in a shortened season.
Smaller,
you know,
sample
like
size.
It's in a smaller sample size season. You may have had to play a quote unquote a tougher team, you know, earlier on. You haven't gotten the full schedule. There may be teams that you haven't played because of this. It's just, to me, I feel like it's a better representation of who the best team in your league is through 10 games. The team that has the most total points, as opposed to the team that, you know, got that has less points but is 7-3.
Sure.
Versus, right.
Yep.
So
you could also maybe make it two teams based on record, two teams based on points. There are a lot of ways to
whatever
skin this cat.
Whichever way you decide, it needs to be spelled out before the season starts, and ideally before you draft.
Yep.
Because that may affect how you draft. So it needs to be written in stone and agreed to, and however your league communicates, whether it's text or email or Snapchat or whatever you guys do, right? You need to do that. Okay. So I would argue total points, but either way, however you do it, you do that. If it's less than 10 games and you have all paid into a pot, my suggestion is, again, you need to decide this. My suggestion is donate that money to a cause that is helpful to COVID-19.
I like that idea.
Feeding America would be my nomination, but there are many great outfits out there. Do your research. So do your research. But I would say donate it to a cause that can help, that is helping with the pandemic.
Cool. I like that idea.
But if you guys don't want to do it, I understand everyone is different with their money, then you return the money. But there needs to be communication is more crucial than ever this year.
Yeah, the majority of this conversation that we're having right now is literally just what you need to do with your league, where it doesn't make a difference what you decide. Just sit down and have the conversation so everyone is on the same page.
Hash it out in advance. This is right. We have this scripted as a question, but I'm just going to make it a suggestion instead. And I know this is going to sound a little bit grim and sort of scary, but this might be a year where you have co-commissioners. In case something happens to the person that would normally lead your league efforts as the commissioner, maybe have somebody who either has co-commissioner power or maybe designate somebody in the event that the person who is your commissioner is dealing with COVID, him or herself, or has a family issue that arises as a result of COVID. Unfortunately, these are really weird, uncertain times. Another question for you, though. We have seen Damian Williams, for example. He's the most notable fantasy-relevant player that has opted out of the 2020 season. If you play in a keeper league, do you think, how would you handle players that have opted out? Again, Damian Williams, the most notable, but before Wednesday, we might have a couple more. Do you have a suggestion of how to handle, like, does Damian Williams, do you get to, let's say you have six keepers per year. Does Damian Williams count towards your six? Does he not?
I think he does. To me, I think in that particular case, it's similar to, I mean, you know, we've seen this, right? Where players have gotten hurt and are out for the season early on. You know, I mean, I think back to a couple years ago, Jordy Nelson tore his ACL like in the second preseason game.
Are you thinking of Julian Edelman, perhaps?
No. Jordy Nelson also tore his ACL and missed the season. Yeah. Maybe a few years ago.
Further back.
But yeah, same with Edelman. You know, and then you decide. Yeah. Am I keeping? Edelman's also a good case. Edelman tore his ACL before keepers were due in a number of leagues. It was early on in the season. Hunter Henry, when the year he missed, it happened like in the spring.
Yeah.
So to me, it's the same sort of thing. You just have to decide, this player is not going to play this year. Is this player worth using one of my roster spots? In the case of Damian Williams, I would say no, because again, I would have said, even if he was playing this year, I'm not sure, depending on the size of the keeper league, that you definitely want to use him as one of your keepers, given the emergence of Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Let me ask this question, and I feel very comfortable that I know the answer, but just to make sure that we're on the same page. Let's say you make a trade with another manager in your league, and before you're able to play a game, the player that you traded for tests positive for COVID and now can no longer play. Is that any different than if you traded for a player and they had a hamstring injury or something happened in practice and it's just like everything else? Just to state it clearly so that, you know, if
sadly,
that situation
it's
happens.
Not. Sadly, it's not, in my opinion. Sadly, it's you have to deal with the consequences.
Right.
In the same way that if you trade for a guy, and like you said, tore his hamstring the next day, you have to live with it.
Yeah.
By the way, I must say, Daniels, I think we have 4K cameras this year. Your beard, so pristine. You can see the individual strands emerging.
I got some white ones, some really long white hairs that I have not cut.
You're a wizard. Daniel.
Here's the thing. I haven't gotten a haircut or shaved my beard since we did all of COVID.
You look amazing.
And so like I've just been letting it go in order to be able to, you know.
Hold on. Can you never wear a hat again? Can you just come like this to work every day?
How is it Geico is a sponsor and you're not doing all the live reads?
Caveman
commercial. Right. You are this close to a caveman.
Okay.
You are dangerously close to a cave. Can we talk to our friends at Geico and see if we can throw you into a spot, see if anyone recognizes whether you are one of the actual cavemen or not?
Let's see.
Well, I did it. This is a random story, but I once
sure
did.
Sure, be great.
I will tell you this. So Geico's been a friend to ESPN Fantasy for a long time.
Yes.
And I did a commercial for them a number of years ago with me and the Geico caveman. And so we shot on like a street in New York City. And I have to tell you something. We walked out to shoot one part of this commercial, and the caveman was surrounded. Like, you'd have thought I'd walked out with Taylor Swift. Like, it was, I mean, like, this guy was surrounded by autograph seekers, by like people wanting his picture with
Iconic.
Him. Like, I mean, it was like I knew they were popular,
sure,
but like rock star level, like, extra security had to be brought in.
Did anybody know who you were, or was it all
no one at all?
Of course.
No, I was being pushed out of the way.
No,
get out of the way. You got
Barry.
Your picture with a gay man. Move it, old man. What are you doing? No, absolutely not.
You learn something new every day. All right, one last request from us to you is send us pictures of your draft setup, your safely, socially distant draft setup at Fantasy Focus. On Twitter
to us, yeah.
Yeah.
We want to see what clever ways you guys are handling the pandemic and how you're drafting, whether, you know, Zoom or FaceTime, or how are you guys doing it? We want to see.
Whatever it is, send it along.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, so we mentioned about the roster construction throughout the show earlier. We're talking about, you know, how many extra roster spots you have. But if you're thinking specific to the draft strategy, Matthew, does the value of a position like running back, which is already really hard to find reliable players, become even more substantial this year?
Yeah.
Are you adding extra running backs because of the premium placed on them because of COVID potential?
I am. So I'm starting to look, I think you need to look at obviously your league settings and your league rules and understand, if you start ESPN Standard League, you start two wide receivers. Some leagues you start three. Like how many can you start, and is it PPR versus... So you need to understand, obviously, your league settings and your roster construction. But for me, I want to load... this year more than ever, every roster spot is truly precious. So for me, what I want is I want one quarterback. Because, again, this is assuming you're in a league where you only play one quarterback.
Right.
So I'm like, I definitely do not want a second quarterback. Like, because if something happens to my quarterback, then I feel like I'll be able to find somebody on the waiver wire.
Got
to place.
Okay.
And one kicker, one defense, obviously, right? Assuming you're playing in a league that you haven't gone super flex yet. Everyone, please go for super flex. But anyway, one kicker, one defense, right?
Yep.
So then I want all running backs, wide receivers, and maybe a couple of tight ends. And I actually think it will be easier to find wide receivers than it will be running backs on the waiver wire.
The depth is crazy
this year in wide receiver. So if there's one position that I'm going to hammer more than any, it's running back. Because, by the way, even if you have running backs that stay healthy the entire year, you've got trade pieces. Remember, again, your draft is only about building a foundation, a blueprint. It's not your final roster for the entire season. Your roster is going to change every single week, right? I mean, it's going to have to even with bye weeks, even if the entirety of your roster stays healthy, just with bye weeks. You're not going to start the same group of people every week. So I want as many potential pieces to either trade or if something were to happen, injury, COVID related or not, to me, that's where I'm hammering.
I agree with you on the running backs. I might consider a quarterback, and I might actually make it akin to my strategy that I've used in previous years where, if you land at Patrick Mahomes, you're fine, right?
Yeah,
I don't think it's worth using two roster spots when you have a no doubt about it stud quarterback that you're going to play every single week, provided he's healthy or not in a bye. But if you sort of creep down to that area where... we've all been talking about Daniel Jones as a potential top 10 option this year, sort of a fun breakout candidate. But still, it's not a certainty, right? He's not a certainty in the same way that a Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson is. There might be some value there in the Daniel Jones, Joe Burrow type pairing just to insulate your roster a little bit, which maybe that's actually less COVID dependent and more just general roster construction dependent.
But my counter to that is that 100%. Daniel Jones is not a sure thing. Look, I mean, a year ago, I was sitting here saying, like, Baker Mayfield's going to have a huge breakout season. And he didn't, obviously. Right? So,
not
my fault, but whatever. I got that call wrong. I wasn't the only one high on Baker, but whatever. I got that call wrong. My point is that
I was first on.
Like, we think.
Look, I love Baker Mayfield.
We like Joe Burrow. We like Joe Burrow. We like Daniel Jones, but they could both flame out.
Right?
I would rather. If I believe in Daniel Jones, and I do, he was my choice for breakout player when we did that, the sleepers, busts, and breakouts for ESPN Fantasy. It's right now on ESPN.com. I'm a company man. Done a nut. My feeling here, Field, is that I'd rather roll the dice with Jones, and if he doesn't work out, then I can go to the waiver wire and maybe grab Burrow or Gardner Minshew or Dwayne Haskins. I mean, there are other guys that are lower out there that I do think have some upside that are going late. Kirk Cousins is going outside the top 20.
Okay, now you're right there. Haskins, I'm not necessarily buying in on yet, but I hear your point.
Dwayne Haskins is going to be better than people think. I'm just saying it right now.
Washington Football Club, baby.
Washington Football Club. Hail to the Washington Football Club.
That's right.
Football team, I should say. Hail to the Washington Football Team.
Football Club right now. Football team. Okay.
Washington Football Team.
Washington.
Okay. But what I would say here, Field, is that, listen, Scott Turner, Ron Rivera, what did they do in Carolina? They threw. Panthers had the second most pass attempts in the NFL last year, and their defense was terrible. I don't think the Redskins' defense is going to be bad as the Panthers was last year, but they're going to be down in games.
One day they're going to be throwing. Yeah, we'll have a spirited conversation about Dwayne Haskins at another time.
All right, fine.
All right, so we're on the air daily until 11 a.m. So we've got a few minutes here to take some social questions.
What happens if we go to 11:01?
Well, we'll find out.
Does it just shut off?
Understanding
you. You ever see Ghostbusters, how they talk about crossing the streams, Matthew? Yeah.
You ever heard of the Herm Edwards Heart Out?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Fight Club?
All right.
Yeah.
One day we'll tell a story about a Herm Edwards who NFL Live ended at like 4 o'clock one day, and he stopped talking at like 4:07. It was hilarious.
I miss
Daniel,
so
a couple
good.
of...
All right.
Social questions.
Let's do rapid fire here. Yeah, so be cognizant of that with you guys. All right. This question comes from Brandon. I have the fourth pick in a pair of leagues this week with identical rules. Would you pick the same player in both leagues, assuming they are the top three at the same, or would you look to get different exposure due to a unique season?
I like the question. I would pick different players. The reason why is that I think there's comparable value to players that are in that range, right? So it's also not a guarantee. Let's say you take, as an example, Ezekiel Elliott with the fourth pick in that first league. He could go two or three in that next league. Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, listen, I don't mind taking different players, but if your personal board, if you have, let's say you have Saquon at two, right? And Saquon drops to four in both leagues. I'm not passing on Saquon in the second league because I want variety. You want the best team possible. And so you have your own roster. So let me put it this way. I would not try to differentiate my exposure. I want the best team possible. The idea that, like, because something could happen to both guys, or if let's say you draft Saquon in one and you're like, and Saquon ends up having a monster season, but then you, in the second league, you drafted somebody else who, you know, gets injured or has a bad season. I don't know. Like, you just missed out on Saquon's monster season in the second league, which is where you wanted. So no, I would not choose a different player just because of the year that we're in.
Chris wants to know, are you bumping up veterans and bumping down rookies this year with the limited preseason?
I'm bumping up good players and I'm bumping down bad players. I don't care if they're rookies or not.
I'm gonna rephrase in a different way. I'm not necessarily bumping up veterans and bumping down rookies. I'm bumping up players that are in the same system and the same coach with the same, like, you know, you think about think about the Falcons, right? It's basically the same group. I know they added Hayden Hurst, but like the Falcons are an interesting team to me as well. Like the Rams, Robert Woods, you know, guys that are in the same system with the same coach and the same quarterback, I think are more interesting to me than players that have changed teams, that are in a new system, new coach, have new quarterbacks, what have you.
All right, and the last one, we have a trivia question. We're going to start doing trivia. Comes from Kyle, putting you guys on the spot.
From the bunker!
I got you guys covered. Who is the only running back to score 270 points in his rookie year after being picked 23rd to 32nd in the NFL draft? We talked a lot about CEH. He would qualify as such.
Okay, so Josh Jacobs last year would qualify, but I don't think he's.
I don't think he got 270, but Josh Jacobs was the first guy that came to mind for me.
It's got to be further back than that.
Cadillac Williams?
You know what? Doug Martin has to be the answer.
Ding, ding, ding. The
Let's
muscle
go!
Hamster.
Wow. One for one, baby.
Wow.
Field Yates is going
to
dominate.
Field is up 1-0. Right. Also, just as a quick recap, Matthew hamster. Interrupted Field 3 times. We'll get a graphic made for that going on in the show.
Terrific.
All right. We got 1 minute left on the show. So just to say a quick, just to put a pin in this. Again, we are so thankful to have the opportunity to do this show this season. We're going to do it as safely as can possibly be done. And we hope football is played. We're going to be here every single Monday through Friday.
Every single day.
If you want to stream with us, hang out. If you want
to
download the podcast, you will be able to podcast. As always, this show will be in its original and its normal form. We are having an absolute blast and we'll do so every single day. Social
double
media.
Double Trouble tomorrow, where our double trouble starts, where we preview two teams. We got Packers and Lions tomorrow. Yes. Daniel's Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers tomorrow. Double Trouble starts. And tweet us at Fantasy Focus.
And you got to get social media followings up. He's at Matthew Berry TMR on Twitter and Instagram and all forms
and
of social
TikTok.
Media.
I'm trying to get my TikTok following up to impress my daughters.
I don't know about that. All right. And except for the Fantasy Life app, he's just at Matthew Berry. I am at Field Yates. Twitter, Instagram. He's at Daniel Dopp. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Again, Packers and Lions. Woo, can't wait. Peace out.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.